Hi there, and welcome to Stories of Our Why, a podcast from the West Shore School District. Here we take a closer look at the inspiring stories behind our students' journeys. I'm Brayden Long, Director of Communications for the district. The title Stories of Our Why comes from the district's mission, Our Why. We are dedicated to providing students with inspiring and relevant experiences so they may live meaningful, purposeful, and impactful lives. In this podcast, we hear directly from the students whose experiences reflect that mission in action. In each episode, we feature student speakers from Cedar Cliff and Redland High Schools and their speeches at school board director meetings, giving us insight into their challenges, achievements, and what motivates them to grow, lead, and make a difference. In this episode, we speak with Cedar Cliff senior Linda Al-Ghabari. A multilingual, multinational scholar from Saudi Arabia, Linda has made her mark on multiple clubs at Cedar Cliff and ensured an enduring legacy after graduation. Here's more to her story.
Linda Al-Ghabari, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
You spoke to the Board of School Directors in November. I'm 100% certain that that was a result of Mr. Miller approaching you and saying, hey, we would like you to speak based upon Cedar Cliff and all that kind of thing.
It went exactly like that.
So tell me some of the thoughts behind what you were thinking whenever you were forming your speech and some of your inspirations for your time at Cedar Cliff. What has stood out for you in your 4 years, 3.5 years so far that really you thought was worth mentioning to the board and the community?
When I was first approached, I wasn't sure why. Like, why me? And then it was another question of like, well, what am I supposed to say? Am I supposed to change it up, make it sound nice? Like, I don't know what I'm talking about. But I went up to Mr. Miller, asked him a couple questions. He's like, just talk about yourself. That's it. Like, that's good enough for us. So a lot of inspiration at Cedar Cliff, I saw people like were really into like their sports or like really into one thing. And I just like started joining clubs here and there, but I didn't really feel like a spark. Like, it just kind of felt like I was going to school after school meetings. And it was just kind of like, okay, that was time. And then I went to the Hugo Bryan Youth Leadership Seminar, which was in the end of my sophomore year. And that was through being picked. It was like an anonymous pick of an essay. And after I went to that, it's a leadership seminar. It was about 4 days. And it was just really good. Like, they teach you all different types of leadership. It's about service and community, and they have a lot of speakers. And that's, like, I went into the summer saying, like, wow, so many of these people, like, they have careers, and they still show up 4 days a week or year-round volunteering for this organization. There's different types of people that took their career as the type of leader they are, like, innovative or into, like, nonprofits or all that. So it really was a big inspiration for me, and I was like, well, I want to do something like that. I want to have an impact, a good impact in my community, which is what led me to want to start a club, specifically the Future Business Leaders of America. So I went into the next school year with like a bunch of research on DECA and the Future Business Leaders of America.
DECA.
Which is a different business or organization. We don't have that at Cedar Cliff, but it's kind of the same as Future Business Leaders of America. It's like business club. It's a national business organization, and it has competitions, stuff like that. And so I went up to Mr. Barwin, which is the advisor, and he was a brand new teacher at Cedar Cliff, but he said yes right away. He's like, I love it. I did it in my old school. Let's do it. And I was like, wow, that was easy. Like, and all I had to do was fill out this tiny paper that said club name, advisor, what's it about? That's how easy it was to start a club. That's how easy it was to make an impact at Cedar Cliff. I got 10 people, 10 of my friends, and it grew. We have like over 50 members now. And it's just a really great experience. Like, I did public speaking as my event. I got top 10 at States. So it's really been like, it's just been the, like, when I see people do something, it makes me want to do something too. And I hope like that's the impact that I want to do. Like, somebody sees me doing something, so they'll start doing something too.
How long ago did you start FBLA here?
It was the beginning of my junior year, so just last year. And so this is the second year. And
10 to 50.
Huh?
10 to 50 in 2 years.
Yep, literally 10 to 50. And it's like 10 of my, 9 of my friends and me, and then 50, over 50. But it used to run a couple years ago, and then it just stopped because nobody wanted to run a club. But after that, I like really wanted to get into leading stuff. So I'm vice president in my class. Last year I was co-president. I was appointed president for student council. I'm vice president at French Club. I used to be secretary. So it's really nice. Like, I saw that what I can do is like what people are having a problem with, which is like going to a club meeting and feeling like they're kind of just wasting time or they're not getting as much as they should get. I started leading so that I would fix that problem for myself and for others. And so, I don't know, I think I just see it as like, I'm like voicing other people's problems, but like taking initiative to fix it.
How do you think you have changed the culture in some of those things? Give me an example of some of the things that you've that you've done both in FBLA to grow that membership, mm-hmm. and also just some examples of changes that you think have been made while you've been a member of all those other clubs, let alone how much time you have for those. We'll talk about that too, but go ahead.
So for FBLA, I would set up, we had meetings every other week. And it was, sometimes it was morning meetings, sometimes it was after school, but I had an agenda and an activity for every single meeting. It was like an activity based on towards FBLA and then a fun one. And so people just felt like it was an actual club. Like it wasn't just, I wasn't just taking it as a position and I wasn't just trying to go a membership. It was people that wanted to be a part of something.
So not only is it difficult, I would say, to take upon those leadership roles in an area in which you're familiar, say if you're a West Shore student all your life, but mm-hmm. to be able to do so for you in year two of being in the West Shore School District.
Yeah.
So tell me what that transition was like for you personally, because you're getting used to making new friends and everything yeah. here, and then you're immediately turning around and leading them. Mm-hmm. So tell me what that was like for you and why you were so darn confident to be able to do that too, which we love.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. I moved here from Saudi Arabia my freshman year, but I was in Florida from before that. But I moved here and the culture was insanely different. Like, first off, it was I lived in the city, and so this is very like rural to me. It's like more than suburban. And another thing is like just the people, I felt like everyone is just to themselves. It's like they already have their group or their routine that they've had from like since they've been here, which is all their lives. And another thing I noticed is like people, their families, their grandparents, their like grandparents' parents, like all lived here and they've all just stayed here. So that was a big shift for me because I just kept, like, I was used to like moving around and all that. And so when I first moved here, I was lost. I just didn't know what to do. I like didn't know who to talk to. So I started joining clubs to help with that. But then I felt like some clubs, they just weren't doing me justice enough. And so the worst they could say is no. The worst they could say is, well, I have too much on my hands, which is completely normal. And so I just talked to almost like all the teachers in the building. I would just go up to them all. Who runs this and who runs that and who does this? And well, would you help me do this? And I don't know. I think it was more like, it was like, I really wanted something, you know, I wanted the answers more than I had the confidence for them. And that's what like pushed me to mm-hmm. do all that stuff.
So tell me a bit about what it's like to lead. And by that, I mean, you come from a foreign country to a different state, to another different state in a new school here at Cedar Cliff. So what is that like to come into that environment and try and make friends, discover all of that, and then to lead that population with whom you were vastly unfamiliar with less than 5 years ago in halfway across the world?
Mm-hmm.
So what is that like for you to stand there and be the person and be that leader amongst this group? And what does that do for you?
One thing is a lot of people say like, you're a product of your environment, but I didn't want to be a product of my environment. I didn't want it to be the excuse of why I didn't do something. I wanted my environment to be a product of me. So if I couldn't, like, I didn't know anybody and I wasn't in big clubs or I didn't have big positions, but that wasn't my goal. I wasn't just going to sit here and be like, well, I'm new. Well, I don't know people. Well, this is different for me. No, I did something to fix that. I did something to try and change that. I wanted my environment to be a product of me. And so moving, I learned to adapt. You know, I learned to not change myself to fit in the eyes or shoes of others, but to make sure that they see me. And if they don't like it, then we're not in the same circle. I tried to use my skills to help others that don't have them, and then utilize other people's skills that I don't have to help me. So, for example, other people had connection in this area. I didn't, but I had the ability to be able to like go up to them and talk to them without being scared. So I used, you know, like I connected with people, let them help me while I help them. And I think I just go by life that saying, like, if I can do something that someone else can't, then I'll be the person that helps them get there.
What city in Saudi Arabia are you from?
So I lived in Jeddah my whole life, or like when I do live there, because I go back and forth, but my family's from Najran.
Okay. And then what city in Florida did you go to?
Orlando. I was in Windermere, Florida, which is like one of the suburbs of Orlando.
Tell me a bit about the educational environments of both places and how coming to the States and then to Pennsylvania has changed your experience.
Mm-hmm. So I was back and forth with the U.S. like my entire life. I was born here, but you know, like moved a couple states here and there when I was younger, and I've had the privilege to be in private school and, you know, be able to have that growing up. And so when I was in Saudi Arabia, I was in private schools that are international. So there's a difference between just regular private mm-hmm. schools and international schools. And international schools tended to teach you English, possibly another language, which was usually French. And then also all their curriculum, their math, science is taught in English. And then you have Arabic and you have other classes depending on what you pick.
What are some of your favorite moments in your 3 years here then at West Shore?
I think joining like sports, I think, was a really big one. So
the one thing we've talked hardly anything about, but that was
yes. No, but I think it's like the community and it's like the fun. I see it as like an extracurricular hobby. So it's really fun for me. Discussions in class, I really like those. So like AP Chemistry, when I was in that, that was a really fun class. And there was always discussions and always like debates and different stuff like that. AP Literature was a big one. That was like the one that like shifted my entire perspective in class. So in club wise, I think going to States for FBLA and going to the Kalahari trip just in like Halloween time, that was a really great experience.
Where do you find the energy in the time?
My energy comes from the fact that like every day is a reminder that I'm like doing something for a change, or I'm doing something for a goal.
Future plans.
My future plans is I am planning to go to a 4-year university majoring in finance specifically, or possibly economics. And then after that, I really want to study or get really fluent at a third language so I can take it abroad. I'm just like really grateful that I've had so many resources from the West Shore School District in Cedar Cove that I had the ability to do this.
Linda, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And that was our conversation with Linda Algabari. We hope her journey in the halls of West Shore and across the globe captivated you as much as it did us. You can expect more stories of our why from student speakers throughout the year, available on the West Shore School District website and in our monthly newsletters. Thank you for listening. I'm Braden Long, Director of Communications for the West Shore School District. Until next time.